This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Dr. Robert Amajoy and the Northwest Center for Colorectal Health, LLC, providing screening colonoscopy to help prevent colorectal cancer as well as minimally invasive management of colorectal disease. Offices in Portland and Milwaukee. Detailed information at 503-216-5380 or nwcch.com. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering organic coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or grendelscoffee.com.
This is Grace Reed. Welcome to our new show, Disability Awareness. It's been renamed. It's an old show that's morphed into a new show at this point, and we're really grateful for KBOO to let us come here and talk about this. Today we'll be talking about poverty, homelessness poverty, and the effect on the community, including the disabled and handicapped, and some solutions. Today's show is the first in a series linking poverty and disability. We'll be doing this for the next, through the summer at least. I am so grateful our guest this morning is Israel Baer. He's executive director. I knew him when he was editor of Street Roots. So he's executive director of Street Roots. And Israel, who are you and what do you do? And introduce yourself to the audience.
My name is Israel Baer. I'm the executive director of Street Roots, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What's Street Roots?
So Street Roots is a street newspaper that is sold by people experiencing homelessness and poverty. We have around 400 people over the course of a year who come in and train through the organization, and you'll find them selling the newspaper in front of local establishments throughout the Portland metropolitan area. And the idea is to give people really a hand up and an alternative income to be able to support their needs. And that ranges from people who are experiencing homelessness and in a crisis situation to individuals who may be in low-income housing and using the money from selling street roots to supplement their income to improve their quality of life.
Fantastic. I've been buying street roots for years and years and years. And I'm kind of astounded at the many people that actually don't know about street roots and they don't understand the vendors and whatnot. Can you make a comment on that?
Yeah, I think that we are constantly battling public perception around what is this product? I think a lot of people think that it's a newspaper for quote unquote those people, and I think people are really surprised and find that the newspaper is producing quality journalism, and we are a platform for a range of different individuals and organizations throughout the community. Working with people experiencing poverty and all kinds of social justice issues. So the newspaper has really grown leaps and bounds, and we've got a really dedicated following and a growing following.
Well, what I've noticed lately is you also have become a member of the international street newspaper association.
That's correct. We're a growing movement. The street newspaper movement itself and the model is around 25 years old, and when it started, it was more or less three or four newspapers throughout the world, and currently there's more than 140 street newspapers in 17 different languages, and we're all sharing best practices and content and working together to try to increase and the awareness of poverty itself, but we're giving hundreds of thousands of people around the world the opportunity to be able to have a hand up through the sales of the newspaper. So
it's a serious newspaper.
Yeah, we are a serious newspaper. I think that, pound for pound and from, we're 16 pages, but I think that you'll find that we have content in the newspaper from the front page to the back page that is carrying a lot of, I like to say that we're a small train carrying a heavy load. So.
Yeah. And I know the Street Roots is into advocacy.
Yeah, we do advocacy. We concentrate really on policy advocacy. So we work with coalition members to do a range of different budget advocacy from the local to the state around gaining revenue for services for homelessness and housing. And then, you know, we're also always constantly weighing in and doing investigative reporting on different mm-hmm. issues. So mm-hmm. Sometimes we're able to kind of be a canary in the coal mine, and we see things develop or trends starting to develop before the entire system does. So mm-hmm. sometimes our reporting is able to give people an alarm that something's happening, and then we're able to either facilitate or be a driver of specific policies that could help people.
I think what interests me, and I'm a kind of a big picture gal as a writer, you know, I look at the big picture and then I bring down to myoptic, you know, what I'm doing or what we're doing here as far as, you know, specifics. But I think any time that our community here in Portland, we're talking about Portland at this point, tends to look upon the vendors or any of your people who are experiencing homelessness and poverty and who are experiencing disabilities, because I've seen vendors that are also disabled, which is why I wanted to link it to this show. But I have seen the looks and the sort of pulling away and all of that as we describe the others, them. Oh, this paper's for them. How lovely. But what, and so for me, that's a disability in the community. So on the big picture, I wanted to link that. That is a disability within or a handicap certainly within our community, to not have the risk-taking skills or the courage perhaps to come forward to the vendors and go, hi, I will buy your paper. I will understand. Who are you? What are you doing? Not everybody's open for that. But how would you encourage or how do you work around that? Because I've actually heard vendors go, you know, make comments about that. You know, there's that gap between the general community and the vendors and homelessness and poverty itself.
I think people we live busy lives and people tend to be busy. And so I think by nature, the vendors who are selling the newspaper are out on street corners or in front of local businesses. And, I think that the good far outweighs the bad. And that we have a really growing and loyal following. So, you know, I think that people tend to either, you know, people are busy. Some people have blinders on. Mm-hmm. We really work with the vendors in a way to encourage them to not be aggressive in their sales. Mm-hmm. We're really proud that we partner with more than 70 local businesses throughout the Portland metropolitan area. Really Street Roots vendors have become a welcoming an extension of many local businesses that were able to, greet people with a hello or hi. And we encourage people to purchase the newspaper, but ultimately we're looking to be able to have a good experience. And I think ultimately the newspaper breaks a lot of stereotypes about people experiencing poverty. I also think it builds a lot of self-confidence and self-worth with mm-hmm. people that are going through an enormous amount of pressure, mm-hmm. and they may be dealing with things in their lives that many of us couldn't comprehend. So mm-hmm. the idea that mm-hmm. People get to know the vendors as Jane or Joe, and that they like to fish or they like to knit or that they like baseball, and they become this, really a member of that community, and they're not just some homeless person on the street.
I buy my newspaper at different vendors around town, and I see, I love the way you profile the vendors in Street Roots itself. Tell us where the paper is being sold, basically. What are some of the businesses you're talking about? Where are these people?
In the urban core, I would say from 60th to the West Hills, from Powell to Lombard is our core area. But we also work with a range of different farmers markets and groups as far out as Hillsdale and Beaverton. We're really starting to expand. You know, the irony of a Street Roots vendor is where there's a healthy neighborhood with a lot of walking traffic, you're going to find a successful Street Roots vendor. And so, you know, the demographics of Portland are changing radically, both from an economic perspective and also a diversity perspective. And so you have the entire urban core has been gentrified to the point of not having a whole lot of diversity. You also have situations where the Pearl is the highest selling neighborhood for vendors. So if you're a vendor that's selling in the Pearl District, you're doing quite well. So there's a lot of ironies there with the idea where there is a gentrifying neighborhood, there is a successful Street Roots vendor. And so we're constantly dealing with those different dynamics, you know. But we're also really working, you know, we have a window into a world that a lot of people yearn to be able to understand. And so we're really trying to educate a new readership. So we feel like we have the Portland liberals with us. We feel like we have the lefties with us. As far as the readership, really what we're targeting and really trying to explore is targeting the apolitical and the people that aren't engaged in the issue. And we're finding that we're, if we can pull people into the newspaper and have them engage in issues that they probably never would have engaged in prior, then we're doing our job. So,
how many handicapped people do you have within your present organization?
Well, we serve for around 400 individuals over the course of the year. I would say by and far around half of the people are dealing with some kind of disability. And that really mirrors the numbers of the homeless population throughout the city of Portland and Multnomah County. So on any one night, there's around 4,000 people who are sleeping out on the streets or in shelters, and more than 50% of those are people dealing with a disabling condition. And, you know, that ranges from traumatic brain injury to addiction to mental health to a whole range of things. You know, the experience of being homeless, and becoming homeless is such a traumatic experience that, you know, we find a lot of people are coming to us. And I think there's a myth out there that people are become homeless because they're experiencing mental health. And we see actually a lot of people becoming mentally ill after they experience homelessness because of the trauma of it. So it's hard to gauge, but I can tell you from Street Roots' perspective, we have, you know, our vendors tend to be independent individuals and really self-motivated. We have a collective group family mentality where we're all working together. But on an individual basis, the vast majority of people selling Street Roots are people that want to work. They're people that have a long work history. A lot of people that have been injured on the job, a lot of elderly folks that are not being hired in today's job market. You know, a lot, you know, just a whole range of individuals who are dealing with some kind of physical disability where they're able to go out maybe 2 or 3 hours during a day and sell the newspaper, but they're not able to maintain an 8-hour workday or a 12-hour workday. So, you know, we're working with a pretty wide range of individuals. And we try to do our best to work with the local businesses and our own organizations to try to find different locations where people will be successful. So, for example, if we know someone can't stand up and they need to sit down, we're probably going to try to work with a local business in a neighborhood that will allow them to be able to sit down, because there are certain laws in downtown that don't allow people always to sit down. So, or it just may be too much commotion or whatever. So we're constantly trying to work with people, and you know, unfortunately, you know, I would say people over 50 in this town are already experiencing a lot of, I would almost say, discrimination of just not being able to be hired. And so when you add in poverty and any kind of ailments, it becomes almost impossible for many folks. So.
Yes, and I'm one of those folks, actually. I'm 70 years old, and I'm usually in a scooter. And I have experienced invisibility, very much so out there. This is KBOO.FM, 90.7 FM. Our guest today is Israel Baer of Street Roots, Executive Director. And we're talking about homelessness, poverty, and the link to disability issues, handicap issues. And this show is Disability Awareness. Israel, what are some of the challenges and the solutions? Where is Street Roots going? What is the future? What are some of the trends?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I mean, I think for an overall population, you know, our biggest challenge as a region is because the urban core has been gentrified to the point that it has, that we have a growing number of individuals and families experiencing homelessness beginning to build on the outer ring of the city. So the suburbs are experiencing an extreme increase in poverty. East Portland is experiencing a lot of different infrastructure problems and a growing percentage of people that are living in poverty. When you talk about the challenges, you're talking about transportation, you're talking about public sidewalks, you're talking about how do people access different quality food, medical needs, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think the growing challenge for our region is how do we connect our great transportation system? How do we bring in the food deserts and give people the opportunity to have a healthy grocery store nearby, especially for people experiencing a disability? So I think that those are real challenges that we face. I think we also face a challenge in Portland where poor people are just being simply outpriced in the current market. The rental market is, I believe it's 98%. And, you know, basically if you're on a fixed income and you have little income or you have a disability, it's almost impossible to get a fair market, you know, studio or one bedroom or two bedroom. And so those things become enormous challenges for folks. You know, I think some of the solutions are we've got a lot of great leaders. We've got a powerful advocacy community. We've got some of the smartest people in the world working on a lot of these issues. I think where the rubber hits the road is where does the rhetoric stop and the action begin? And so I think that we have a lot of challenges, but we also have the opportunity to really capture and be innovative and do new things and think about transportation and housing and food and housing in different ways and really build a model for the future. So really, I think the next couple decades will tell the tale.
You're doing some incredibly big work for little Street Roots. And you're not so little, that's the point. And I really...
Yeah, you know, in Street Roots, I mean, from a Street Roots perspective, we're hoping to go weekly next year. You know, that's a big jump for us. And the idea of doubling our publication size is a tall mountain to climb, but we're at base camp currently, and we're gathering up our supplies and heading up the mountain. So, you know, we're really working hard. In the first week of sales, the vendors do enormously well. They're making well above minimum wage, sometimes, you know, over $10, $12 an hour selling the newspaper. When you get to that second week, there's a pretty steep decline, and vendors tend to have to hustle to be able to sell the newspaper. And we know that if we go weekly, we'll be able to stabilize vendors' incomes and they'll be able to make a fair living selling Street Roots. So.
Yeah, and you know, what I'm really grateful for is I want this show to represent all people in the community. And I basically were information givers to the folks that don't understand these issues. And as a handicapped older lady with a master's degree in conflict resolution, you know, mm-hmm. I make a little over $800 a month, and I'm just barely making it and scrambling for work. So I'm there, you know, I'm right there. So I think I'll come over and try to sell. I think my thing is something else. So how can the community? I mean, I understand from here, sitting here and looking at you. You know, I'm there with those folks. And the only what about the national sequester and in Street Roots? In fact, did an article on sequester and Section 8 threat. What trend is that? And that's threatening me directly because I'm a Section 8.
Sure.
I looked at that article and I went, oh my goodness, am I going to lose my Section 8? Where am I going? Am I going to end up homeless? Mm-hmm. And it's so threatening and it's so frightening. And I live in a building full of people that are threatened and frightened. And that just ratchets up the conflict and the stress. And then that ratchets up the addiction issues. And, you know, it's just a slippery slope.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think from a federal perspective that I think like many issues that we find that our federal government is more or less dysfunctional. You know, housing has been deprioritized over the last 30 years, we've become a nation that relies on local communities to basically deal with the issue of housing and poverty. I think that for many years, the city of Portland and Multnomah County have prioritized that, but they can't do it alone. And so, you know, until we have a federal government that believes that people come first and that we should prioritize these important issues, we're probably going to be walking that long road for many years to come. You know, I think how that relates to individuals is, I think that there are an enormous amount of programs and different resources that are available to the community. It's a matter of how to navigate those systems. I'm not an alarmist, but I do know that, you know, regardless of which way the recession goes or how the economy goes, that we're going to be digging out of this last economic downturn for years to come. And so we're continuing to see a vast amount of people in waves that are becoming homeless or on the verge of becoming homeless. So it's something that I think personally I've almost, I feel like I have secondary post-traumatic stress disorder from just dealing with the wave after wave of trauma that comes at us. You know, there's an enormous amount of people who are dying on the streets. There are an enormous amount of elderly folks that are in your situation that don't know what's happening tomorrow or the next week. And, with that fear comes a whole range of things like you were talking about, and just dealing with that day in and day out for all of us is something that we have to collectively really work on and continue to make sure that our local officials, our business community and others are prioritizing this, because ultimately we are talking about people's lives and our own residents' lives. So
I particularly am enamored and in love with the different religious or the churches that are stepping up, and I know that was one of the national priorities, is to honor mm-hmm. different institutions like that are stepping up and feeding and housing and whatnot. I know Unitarian, I live near the Unitarian Church downtown here, and they have opened up their parking lot to women that are living in their cars with children that are recently homeless. And we're not talking about old people either. We're talking about young women with children living in their car because they can't afford rent. And there was a community reaction to that. Oh, no, you can't allow homeless people to live in a parking lot. And that does exist because, you know, I was on the front line with that, working with Unitarian too. Get that, but as you said, our local legislation, they are precious. They mm-hmm. they overrid all of that, and they made that happen for the Unitarians, for instance. But we're talking about crisis, and yeah, post-traumatic stress for sure.
Yeah.
And but I am also not a I'm an activist, not so much an alarmist, because it is what it is. It is what it is, and we have to continue to work with solutions towards that. What do you recommend, right from the individual up to the national level? That's a I'm sorry, I'm going to give you that one. I mean, what does the individual do that feels conflicted and in crisis, and where do they go? Who do they talk to?
Sure.
What are we supposed to?
I think for individuals that find themselves in crisis, I think that to call 211 info is a very great resource, and they have people available, around the clock to be able to give people information. There's also the Rose City Resource Guide that we publish. We publish 100,000 guides that offer all the services in Multnomah and Washington County. And those are available at more than 200 nonprofits throughout the metropolitan area.
A lot of people, I noticed a lot of people didn't know anything about this, and I've handed these out to my manager in my building, all sorts of people, and a lot of the Street Roots people sell or give these away.
That's correct, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you guys publish this?
Yeah, we publish
wow.
140,000 of those annually. So, and they're used
wonderful.
By a range of different groups interfacing with poverty. You know, from an individual, how people can help. You know, I don't want to paint just a dire situation of poverty. The human perseverance and the amount of joy and laughter in seeing people overcome and triumph in their own situations happens on a daily basis. And that's something that's great to be a part of and to see. I think people assume that people in poverty are so serious and so real and are just down in the dumps. But ultimately, we see that human perseverance go through. You know, I would recommend for many folks, especially, you know, people with disabilities, poor people, it's important just to be kind out there, right? So if you see an elderly person struggling to get across a crosswalk or somebody in a wheelchair or, you know, somebody who's alone and elderly and maybe disabled, don't be afraid to just say hi to them and offer them a smile, because I think that those kinds of things go a really long way. And I do think that because we are a young city, the elderly folks tend to get lost in the fray. And I think it's important that we just take the time each and every day to do something nice for others. So.
Well, yes, all the bike, all the young.
It sounds cheesy, but it does good.
No, the random acts of kindness, we used to call that. We used to have bumper stickers, do random acts. And then Ellen DeGeneres comes to mind with her kindness thing.
Absolutely.
You know, but I have noticed that, too, that just a smile. And as I'm usually in a scooter. Today I'm in a walker and a cane. I've got my beautiful friend that's helping me, Thomas, today. And and I'm very blessed. I have a lot of people that help me. But without that kindness, oh, my life would be so much more depleted, really. What more solution? Where is Street Roots going? What help do you need? What can the community do to step up and help you up this long road with your next mission?
The community can do two things, and I think on the front end, they can continue to support the vendors. So purchasing a newspaper and then giving it a read. You know, we're going to be looking for the community support. We get zero money from the government for the newspaper. We get the only support that we have are individual donors and some foundation money. So everything that is being produced from the newspaper perspective is community generated.
Oh,
so I would encourage anybody to go to our website at streetroots.org and give a donation, and that will help us out a lot. So.
Say that again, because I want to...
It's at www.streetroots.org.
Wonderful, and it's a great organization. I'm very pleased to know you from a long time ago to present time. Well, I thank you, Israel Barrow and Street Roots, for coming and being on our show today. And thanks for tuning in to the show. It's a 90.7 FM KBOO. We are the fourth Monday of every month, and we will be continuing with poverty, disability in the community, linked with everything. So please tune in next the 4th of July or the fourth Monday of July. And we'll have another guest, and I really want to thank you again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Are you a veteran with hearing loss? Saturday, June 29th, Hearing Loss Solutions for Veterans will take place from 8:45 to 5:30 at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. It features workshops, panel discussions, and the newest technology. Lunch will be provided. Don't miss Hearing Loss Solutions for Veterans at 8:45 a.m. Saturday, June 29th at the Oregon Convention Center. Pre-register today at hamiltoncaptel.com/veterans.
Welcome to the Health and Healthcare Forum. I'm Roberta Hall. Our series on health and healthcare features conversations about diverse health concerns. I enjoy these conversations, and I hope you do too. Oregon's legislative session is brief and jam-packed with bills. There almost always is a major issue, or maybe two, that slow down everything in the legislature. This year, the big issues were school funding, the budget, and behind these were the issues of taxation and how to rein in spending on PERS, the Public Employees Retirement System. Of course, these issues made it harder for the legislature to deal with other pressing issues, including health care. Or at least they made a convenient excuse. The Health Care Committee in the House had 180 bills to deal with. Some of these are housekeeping bills to correct prior bills or adjust them to fit new realities. But even so, the Health Care Committee passed 104 out, mostly to other committees, and some went with positive recommendations. That's a lot to go through. Here, I'll review only a few that could affect health care in Oregon. House Bill 3260, which had its third reading this past Friday, June 21, would authorize a study to discover what type of financing of health care would be a best fit for Oregon. HB 3260 requires the Oregon Health Authority to do a study or contract for one to determine the most efficient and